Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to 4, that's the number 4, patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to 4patriots.com/Ben. That's the number 4, patriots.com/Ben. Right before Election Day, 70 million Americans receive an increase in Social Security benefits, one of the biggest increases that you've ever seen, and this is how you try to buy votes right ahead of the midterm elections. Even ABC News had problems with Joe Biden's claim that the GOP will increase inflation. The Inflation Reduction Act doesn't have much to do with inflation, ABC News actually said over the weekend. Now, I want you to hear this report about 70 million Americans set to receive increased Social Security benefits, and then I want you to hear the administration's lie that Republicans will make things worse.
What does this Social Security benefit bump mean for retirees?
Well, hopefully it's going to mean some much needed relief for the nearly 70 million Social Security recipients. They've seen their budgets stretch thin because of high inflation. Also, their nest eggs have taken a real wallop because of the plunging stock and bond markets. So the average monthly Social Security check will rise by 8.7% next year, the biggest cost of living adjustment since 1981. That means people are going to see their Social Security checks go up by $146 a month. Certainly good news. And get this statistic that I read. 20% of retirees depend on Social Security for 90% or more of their income. So the fact that they're going to be getting more in that check every month is welcome news.
So where does this leave Social Security as a program? Will it run out of money eventually?
That's a myth. A lot of people are saying that is going to happen. It won't bankrupt Social Security, but it will definitely put a stress on the system. And it's estimated by 2034, that's just 12 years away, Social Security will only be able to pay out 80% of its benefits unless Congress acts. And I feel like Social Security has been on Congress's to-do list forever.
Yeah,
and
as long as I can remember.
They need to start to make some real changes.
Let's talk inflation. We're looking at near historic highs. Where are people feeling it the most right now?
So let's just talk about where inflation is at the moment, up 8.2% year over year. Our wages are only up 5%, so clearly not keeping pace. And we took a look at some everyday items. Right now, it costs the average household $445 more a month to pay for things like rent, medical care, daycare expenses. When it comes to food, which is a big part of the inflation picture, there, we've got dairy products and coffee, each up better than 15%. Going to cost you 17% more for chicken. And look at eggs, up 37%. Of course, housing, a big part of the inflation picture as well, whether you rent or you buy. So a one-bedroom apartment averaged about $1,200 last year. Today, that's $500 more. And if you're buying, you're still getting hit, Diane. Mortgage rates are now at a 16-year high. And gas prices, remember they had been coming.
I love this. Mortgage rates, 16-year high. 16-year high. Gas rates, all-time high for many people in their lifetime. and Social Security and the Biden administration are like, oh, here's a little extra cash. It's not going to cover it. And ABC News is telling you that. They're saying it's not going to cover your expenses.
Coming down. We were enjoying that a little bit. They're creeping back up now with OPEC going to cut production. The national average now $3.90 a gallon. Of course, a whole lot more in California. And not to continue to be the bearer of bad news, but home heating going to cost us all more to heat our homes, whether it's with natural gas, electricity, home heating oil. It's going to be more.
One more cost going up. Now, we've seen over and over again that the economy and inflation are top issues for voters in the midterms. The president's in California today, among other things, saying that if Republicans gain control of Congress, they will repeal the Inflation Reduction Act. All of this gets worse. What say you to that?
I say that we've been talking about how the Inflation Reduction Act is a misnomer because it doesn't have much to do with inflation. Over time, it should bring down healthcare costs and energy costs. This is a many years process. It's not going to do anything for inflation in the short term.
And the Fed and interest rates, what are you watching for there?
We're watching for any relief on the inflation front. Doesn't look like we're going to get it anytime soon. So the Fed probably going to raise interest rates by another 0.75% at that November meeting. Probably going to get another hike in December, which means borrowing costs, everything from mortgages to home equity loans to your credit cards. All those interest rates are going up. So if you can start to bring down debt now, pay it off because it's only going to get more expensive.
All right. Alexis Christophorus, always great to have you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's how bad things are. But don't worry, we got it figured out, right? The main claim that we all have to go back to here is that we had this reduction, right? Inflation Reduction Act that does nothing to actually reduce inflation. And that's why that reporter just pushed back on the claim by President Joe Biden that if Republicans gain control of both chambers of Congress in the midterms, they will make the inflation problem worse by repealing the Inflation Reduction Act, by stating that naming the legislation the Inflation Reduction Act is a misnomer because the law doesn't have much to do with inflation, quote unquote, and the legislation is not going to do anything for inflation in the short term. I need to tell you about my good friends at Legacy Precious Metals. If you're paying attention, you've seen that the stock market has been plummeting. Many economists are predicting this is just the beginning, and we could see a market pullback well into 2023. If that happens, you're going to see tremendous losses in your portfolio. Many of you have already seen those losses. That is where there's an upside with gold. In the 2008 crash, when the market dipped, gold went up. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust when investing in gold and precious metals. They can advise you on whether gold is right for you, whether it becomes part of your retirement account or having physical metals shipped directly to you. When it comes to your finances, you want to act before it's too late. Be informed on your options. Legacy Precious Metals expert team can answer all your questions. So call Legacy Precious Metals today. 866-751-2218. That's 866-751-2218. Or you can even download their comprehensive gold guide at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. They're going rogue over there at MSNBC. Mark McKinnon this morning said GOP has completely abandoned any sense of ideology as the devil's disciples have enabled Donald Trump and others. This is their closing argument ahead of the midterms.
As we know, will come to a halt.
So, Mark, let's talk about evolution. You just mentioned Sarah Palin, and many have drawn a through line from Palin to Trump in terms of that appeal, that celebrity populist appeal in the Republican Party. Not to say that Trump's not still with us. He very much is and looms large over 2024 and beyond. But there are some Democrats who see two Republicans in particular as maybe the heir apparents to the Trump mantle. Carrie Lake, who we just talked about, is the former TV newscaster, former Obama supporter, we should note, but is sort of polished and good and really good on the stump, maybe a little less threatening than Trump in some ways. The other is Ron DeSantis, who's been able to use the power of government in a very effective way to push through his political agenda, perhaps more effectively than Trump ever could. Give us your assessment of Lake and DeSantis, but also writ large. Is that where the Republican Party is going?
Well, there's no question that's where it's going. And both Lake and DeSantis have perfected the kind of anti-elite punch back on anything establishment related. freezing, and we are all the enemy of the people, casting it in the light that Robert's talked about. Robert also has a piece in the New York Times about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I think it's an interesting question for Robert to say, what does her ascendancy mean as a first-term congresswoman who's seen as like a fringe candidate by most people, but in a new Republican-held Congress, Robert, where will she be, and what kind of power will she wield in a new Congress?
Yeah, well, Mark, I mean, thanks for the question. I mean, when I undertook to begin reporting on my book, it was December of 2020. Green had just won, but I figured that she would be sort of kicked to the curb and viewed as a marginal figure. But she knew something about the Republican base that establishment Republicans did not, and has been able to, in the first reporting quarter, raise a staggering amount of money, is currently now the fourth highest fundraiser among House Republicans. Two of them are our House leaders, Scalise and McCarthy. So for a freshman to do this shows that she's onto something vis-a-vis the base. And McCarthy recognizes this, and it's not just that he's sort of, you know, humoring her by offering her plum committee assignments and all that. It's clear, in fact, that she has become a leader without particular portfolio in the party. And so this is the Republican Party that is essentially on the ballot for 2022. And it's a party that, as Green has said to me, intends to get certain things done, this is not all performative politics. This is actually a slate that is anti-immigration, anti-abortion, anti-gun control, anti-climate change regulation. These are individuals who believe in something, and they are now the power figures in the GOP.
I love the fear mongering. I really do. This is the only way that they're going to be able to try to make inroads. They can't run on the economy. They can't run on anything. Right. I mean, this is it. This is all they can do. This is the whole ball game for them. And when you hear the whole ball game and their whole game plan, which is how they just described it, right? The Republicans are extremists. They're radical. They're nut jobs. They're incompetent. They're insane. So vote for us. We know your life sucks. We know that inflation's through the roof. We know you can't afford things. We know that you're electricity bill, many of them around the country have gone up by hundreds of dollars over the last couple months out of nowhere. We know that the gas prices are going back up and should skyrocket. We know that interest rates are a 16-year high. But just know that Major Taylor Greene, right, she's the crazy one. That is the Republican Party. That's where you need to be.
So Mark, help me understand this better. It's just so fascinating because I can't quite figure out how Republicans are duped so easily. You have, let's talk about the two people that right now a lot of people are fascinated by and talking about, and Democrats are so
by the way, notice how he just says, I can't understand how Republicans can be so stupid, can be duped, right? So after they come in and talk to you the way that they just did, then they come back and they tell you you're stupid. And apparently that's going to make you want to become a Democrat, right? If you talk about how stupid the Republicans are, they're all just going to see the light of day and go, oh, I had no idea. Oh, you're right. We are stupid. Yes, wanting lower taxes, you are totally correct. Yes, wanting lower gas prices, wanting lower costs at grocery stores. I guess now I have woken up to the wokeness of the left. I had no idea how stupid I was. But now I know, and I'm alive, and I understand it, and I am well, right? I mean, this is the let's mock them, and maybe they'll wake up moment, right? Let's mock them, make fun of them, and then here's their response.
Concerned about Donald Trump, Democrat for most of his life, gave millions of dollars to Democrats, and no, it wasn't like back in the 1990s. He contributed to Kamala Harris's campaign in 2014, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Carrie Lake, a Barack Hussein Obama supporter, right? So she was swept up with hope and change, just like Donald Trump was a supporter of Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton, and best friends, it seemed, at times with Bill Clinton. He loved Democrats. He attacked Ronald Reagan. He attacked one Republican after another. How can it be that Republicans embrace these people who were so hostile to the Republican Party, to conservatism, to...
You know the part that really makes me laugh about what you're hearing right now from Joe Scarborough? Joe Scarborough was a conservative Republican back in the day. Joe Scarborough was elected as a Republican, not as a Democrat, to Congress. Joe Scarborough had a conservative radio show that I used to sit in for. Joe Scarborough was such a conservative that actually one time he threw out his back, couldn't move, and they called me and asked me to go do the speaking engagement on his behalf down in Florida. That's how conservative he was. And it's hilarious because he's basically saying, well, once you're a Democrat, you're always a Democrat, right? You're getting bamboozled. Well, then explain your change. You're one of the most radical liberals out there right now. I mean, radical is the word that you have to say, you have to use here. It's not conservative. He is a radical liberal now. Why? I think he probably believes some of it because he now lives in New York City. I think he wants to be accepted by society in New York City. There's no doubt about that. But I also think it's money. Look at all the money this dude makes saying, I'm a Republican when you're not, right? It's as easy as getting on The View. Hate the Republican Party, have Republican views. Back in the day, they'll put you on The View and say, you're a Republican. And that's what his show started out as at MSNBC. I'm a Republican who's tired of the Republican, the way the Republican Party is going, and I'm here to save them. And then he just became a hardcore woke lefty. And now he's criticizing other people who change just like him. He wouldn't have a career, folks, if it wasn't for him becoming a woke liberal. Now, whether it's authentic or not, I don't know. And honestly, I don't care. I judge him by what he believes in today. Do I think that Donald Trump used to be much more liberal than he is now? Yes. But did he bamboozle us? No. He didn't bamboozle us. It's very clear that Donald Trump is a hardcore conservative now. Was he in the past liberal? Yes. Did he wake up, I think, to realize that the liberal ideology was destroying New York City and other places like that? You better believe it. That's what it was all about. Listen to the closing of what he has to say here. Okay? And listen to Mark McKinnon come back and say, you know, you're exactly right. They've been the Republicans are stupid.
Everything that they supposedly care so much about now.
Well, Joe, that's what's so depressing for those of us on Survivor Island in the Republican Party is that the party has abandoned completely.
By the way, I love this. Mark McKinnon is not a Republican. Joe Scarborough is not a Republican. All right. On The View, you look at some of the people on The View, they claim are Republicans, right? They're not Republicans. When you are voting for Democrats, raising money for Democrats, advocating, Ana Navarro is a great example of this, right? I had to debate her for years at CNN. She's now on The View as one of the roundtable guest hosts. Every time she's on, they claim that she is a Republican. Every time. She is not a Republican. She is a Democrat. And everybody knows that she is a Democrat. She has supported Hillary Clinton. She's supported Barack Obama. She is not a, and back in the day, I think she was an opportunist conservative. She wanted to be around famous and rich people, and she found a lane with conservatives. Then when she found a better lane among Democrats, she then switched. It's just that simple. She's what you would refer to as a sellout, a con artist. She's a con artist in politics. That's the only difference. That is the game. And the same way with this guy, like, well, we're on Survivor Island. Really? Joe Scarborough hasn't been a conservative in, what, 10 years? Maybe longer? You're not on an island with Republicans. You're a hardcore lefty. That's it. Just admit it. Be man enough to say that that is what you are.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tim Ryan on fentanyl epidemic. We need a strong border. We need to be tough on China. Democrats are not going to like this. Tim Ryan is Ohio Senate nominee, and this is what he had to say. Listen.
The issue close to Ryan's heart is affecting many Americans. The U.S. drug epidemic. With over 5,000 Ohioans fatally overdosing in 2021 alone, there's not only the need to prevent the inflow of drugs, but to implement comprehensive mental health legislation.
It scares you to death. You know, this rainbow fentanyl now that we're hearing so much about. You try one of those things now, you could end your life. And it's not fair. I wish it wasn't that way. But those are the conversations we've had with our kids, and I think a lot of other parents are having now, too. It needs to be a whole-of-government approach. You need, you know, you do need a strong border. You need to know who's coming in and out of your country. You got to be tough on China, where the fentanyl arises and comes through Mexico in this process. But there's also the mental health and the trauma. And I think really organizing our schools around trauma-informed care, we've learned so much through adverse childhood experiences and all the research done on how that impacts their future. And so how do we have a smart government, a nimble government that takes this data and all this research and immediately injects it into the way we're organizing our education system? I think that's the most comprehensive way. And you can't ignore food. Like the connection now between diet and mental health, diet and depression, gut bacteria. I mean, we got to be smart about this stuff.
What about this Mental Health Act that got passed through the House this summer?
Let me just stop there. Isn't it amazing how right before the dude realizes he's probably going to lose, a dude that's a Democrat comes out and is like, man, I'm going to go for an open border. This is a guy, an American politician serving in the House of Representatives since 2003, who has not been in favor of a secure border. He's a member of the Democratic Party. He is representative of Ohio's 13th congressional district since 2013. And before that, he represented Ohio's 17th congressional district. He's a 49-year-old who's not been tough on crime, who's not been tough on drugs, who has not been tough on the border when he could have done it every year since 2013. But now he's begging for your help. He's running for Senate. He's like, I need your help. Please donate now. And I'm in favor of a secure border because he realizes that he's being left behind by the people in Ohio. What you just heard, by the way, was on MSNBC. Why are they doing this on MSNBC? I never gave up Ohio, right? He says, I'm all about Ohio. I love Ohio. We got to have a secure border. Then why didn't you vote in favor of it? Why didn't you advocate for this in your voting record? Because you have not. I mean, this is just as stupid as the newest information that's come out where they were asking Dr. Fauci, by the way, in this exit interview, they call it. They started asking him about the schools and taking the kids out of schools. He said he never advocated for that. That wasn't his thing. Yeah, it was. It absolutely was. Don't tell me now that you, Dr. Fauci, were not in favor of keeping our kids out of schools. He said that wasn't him. You can't just rewrite history and now act like it wasn't you when it clearly was you. I mean, holy blank, Fauci said, this is going to be bad. Fauci recalls bad feeling prior to Trump briefing. This is now how he's talking about this. It's all rewriting history and the media is letting him do it.
Fauci was often at Donald Trump's side at White House COVID briefings, occasionally contradicting the president he served. But he decided to skip the briefing that became the most surreal of all.
Where were you when President Trump floated the idea of injecting disinfectant?
And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that?
I was at the White House, yeah. I didn't want to go up on there with this because I had a bad feeling about when Homeland Security brought this guy in. He briefed the people in the Situation Room beforehand. And as soon as I heard it, I said, holy this is going to go bad. Why don't I bow out of this one?
What would you have done if you had been standing by the president when he said that?
Well, I would have to had said, hey, I would have done this.
Time out.
Yeah.
Fauci.
I love it, right? Holy, oh my gosh. By the way, he didn't actually say inject it in your veins, but whatever, who cares, right? Anthony Fauci also rewriting history on the schools, saying he has Anthony Fauci's plan to protect schools during the next pandemic. He says more masks and more mandated vaccines.
Was it a mistake in so many states and so many localities to see schools closed as long as they were?
I think in some case, I don't want to use the word mistake, John, because if I do, it gets taken out of the context that you're asking me the question on.
Did we pay too high a price?
Yeah, I would say that what we should realize and have realized that there will be deleterious collateral consequences when you do something like that. This idea that this virus doesn't afflict children is not so. It does. We've lost close to 1,500 kids so far.
But much less than the older population, obviously.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But you shouldn't discount that it does afflict children, so it isn't without consequences. If you go back, and I ask anybody to go back over the number of times that I've said we've got to do everything we can to keep the schools open, no one plays that clip. They always come back and say Fauci was responsible for closing schools. I had nothing to do.
I mean,
let's get down to the facts.
You're not the head of a school board.
Exactly.
But a lot of schools were closed. There was a lot of remote learning.
Right.
And it went on for, in some jurisdictions for the better part of 2 years.
Right, exactly.
And we've seen the impact. We've seen what's happened in terms of lower reading scores, lower
Absolutely.
Math scores. I mean, who knows the psychological impact.
Right.
I mean, it was a steep cost.
It was. The most important thing is to protect the children.
So is there a lesson here, future pandemics, that one thing is more of a focus on that, is how can we protect the kids and get them back to school?
Exactly.
More quickly.
Do both. And the way you do that, you get the people who interact with the children to be vaccinated and masked. You provide ventilation in the schools. You try to keep them in the schools safely. The most important thing is to protect the children.
So would he have done anything differently? No, except more mandated vaccines for your kids. That's what he's saying. Right, it's all about the mandated vaccines. We just need to have more of your kids vaccinated in the future. That's the difference. They still haven't learned, by the way, that you should have the right to decide what happens with your kids and your vaccines. They just want this to happen, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rick Scott now demanding action on electric vehicles that have transformed into ticking time bombs by Hurricane Ian. Florida officials are expressing growing concerns about fires involving electric vehicles such as Tesla cars in the wake of the hurricane that just hit. Senator Rick Scott is demanding action for both the Department of Transportation and vehicle makers as the ticking time bombs created by saltwater interacting with these electric vehicle batteries is draining the resources of first responders. In a letter, Senator Scott wrote, "The emerging threat has forced local fire departments to divert resources away from hurricane recovery to control and contain these dangerous fires." Senator Rick Scott is now demanding action from the Transportation Department and automakers, including Tesla, Ford, GM, and others, after many fires involving electric vehicles transpired in connection with the hurricane, according to new reports coming out from fire departments. They are saying it's just become a massive issue. This emerging threat has forced local fire departments to divert resources away from hurricane recovery to control and contain these dangerous fires. Car fires from electric vehicles have proven to be extremely dangerous and last for a prolonged period of time, taking in many cases up to 6 hours to burn out. Senator Scott joins Florida Chief Financial Officer and State Fire Marshal, who recently sent a letter to the National Highway Safety Traffic Administration requesting information on the fire risk created by saltwater mixing with batteries of electric vehicles. The State Fire Marshal's office is in need of immediate guidance regarding the response to fires produced by EVs that are compromised as a result of the lithium batteries corroding from exposure to salt water. Moreover, State Fire Marshal added that 2 houses in Florida have burned down on Monday as a result of electric vehicles catching fire already. Electric vehicles were seen catching fire in Florida after becoming waterlogged during the hurricane, giving firefighters a new challenge they haven't faced before. The National Highway Safety Administration says it is aware of the multiple fires involving Tesla vehicles, according to the letter obtained by Bloomberg. In its reply, they said the lithium-ion vehicle battery fires have been observed both rapidly igniting and igniting several weeks after battery damage has occurred. In a separate statement to Bloomberg, they said the fires involving electric vehicles pose unique challenges for firefighters. Meanwhile, the Biden administration aims to quickly expand electric vehicles usage across the country by having 50% of all new cars sold in the U.S. be electric by 2030. And other Democratic lawmakers are seeking to make EVs mandatory. In August, California announced that all new cars sold in the state must be zero emissions by 2035. It's not going very well if you look at it from that perspective. On another front, ahead of the election, Michigan Republicans have now introduced a bill defining gender transition procedures on minors as first-degree child abuse. Republican lawmakers in Michigan introduced a bill that would classify allowing a minor to undergo gender transition procedures as first-degree child abuse. The House bill 6454 states that a person could be found guilty of first-degree child abuse if they knowingly or intentionally consent to, obtains, or assists with a gender transition procedure for any minor. The legislation defines a person as a parent, guardian, physician, or any other licensed medical professional. If that person is found guilty of first-degree child abuse, they could face a lifetime sentence. The legislation was brought forward by 5 Republican state representatives who said enough is enough. According to the Hill newspaper, one of those men believes it is logically incoherent to provide puberty blockers or conduct gender transition surgeries for children when they cannot even consent to sex or are legally prohibited from purchasing certain items. People are abusing these children. The idea that we would be making potentially life-altering changes to 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids when it is illegal for them to have sex is insane. I mean, they're not responsible enough to smoke a cigarette until they're 21. Republicans say they're optimistic that other Republican colleagues will support the legislation. He even believes that some of his Democratic colleagues agree with the bill's content, but acknowledge they would be hesitant to support it publicly because they're worried about losing the LGBTQIA+++ community. The Michigan GOP holds a 3-seat advantage in the House. The legislation was also passed, or similar legislation was also passed in Alabama this year that makes it a felony to provide puberty blockers and other hormone treatments to children under the age of 19. Arizona has also passed legislation prohibiting irreversible gender reassignment surgery for those under 18, regardless of whether there's parental consent. However, it's not considered a felony if an individual is found guilty of violating the measure. This is going to be a very interesting story to see how it develops, and obviously we will keep you updated. I promise you, we are going to keep covering this story and letting you know the facts So make sure that when you hear stuff like this, number one, you follow or subscribe to our podcast. You'll get it every day. It's free. Make sure that you tell your family and friends about the work we're doing here. Please write us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast. It helps us reach more people. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to 4, patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to 4patriots.com/Ben. That's the number 4patriots.com/Ben.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.